Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Yes, indeed it is. Today, Ann Bremner is talking with us about the Alec Murdoch trial. We're going to dive into her thoughts as one of the nation's most recognized legal analysts on the testimony given by Alec Murdoch. And we're going to dive even deeper into the psychology of this and the not-so-far stretch that maybe Alec did this, has no recollection, and there was some sort of mental break that took place. And let's start with talking about Alec's testimony in this last week. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you, I watched a lot of it with my parents. I was traveling with them, and they're always my best jurors. And so I don't usually get the chance to watch something kind of soup to nuts in one of these trials.
Yeah.
But given that I was traveling, we had the downtime, I was able to do that. And I bring up my parents because my mother's my best juror, and she did not like him, didn't believe him. And my dad, on the other hand, thought he did very well. Keep in mind, they're both in psychiatry. My dad's a psychiatrist. My mom's a psychiatric nurse.
Okay.
But I thought that he did well until he got stuck into the timeline and the real evidence. I mean, I thought he was sympathetic. He was emotional. He was folksy. Uh-huh. You know, all of those things. But I didn't think the cross was very well done. But, you know, overall, but I think that the cross dealing with the phone evidence, the car, you know, and just the reasonableness of what Alec was trying to say, or unreasonableness, that was very well done by the prosecutor. And I think, you know, I think he really did damage to the defense.
Yeah, it was a very interesting thing to watch, the way that Alec handled the whole thing. Obviously, a lot of this is being played out through circumstantial evidence and character as well. And
right.
I think it really, it's going to come down to how much does the jury believe his authenticity, if you will, his folksiness, which in my opinion, I mean, I'm not from South Carolina, so I don't necessarily, you know, speak the language, if you will. But
right.
I get it. Different areas have different kind of dialects and the this and the that's. Up north, it was, oh, yeah, okay, guys, sure, uh-huh.
Right.
Borderline Canadian. Right. And I get the down in the South, they kind of got their own pawpaw, mama, and that's how they talk. but at the same point, it felt like he was almost overdoing it, where he had never referred to these people in the any other video, testimony, interviews in this way whatsoever. It just seemed 100% like I'm doing this for show. And I see through it. A lot of people see through it, but I don't know that the average person does see through it.
Right. And I've spent a lot of time in South Carolina. I was fortunate that they invited me to speak for their statewide bar association and all their judges for their annual convention. And I also gave a speech for Litigation Council of America in Charleston. And I have a lot of friends in South Carolina. And I get that whole folksy, laid back, polite society vibe that I think he gave.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work in Seattle, that's for sure.
I mean, sure.
They're pretty casual. And, you know, you don't say Miss Libby or Papa or, you know, y'all or any of those kinds of things. But that's a small county. Those are his people. And here's what I think. It is so unbelievable that this man would annihilate, to use the prosecutor's word, his family, the way that he did, if he did it, that person on the stand, the question is for the jury, can they see him doing that? because it was so violent. It was so horrific. We just heard from the ME about the, you know, the brains coming out of Paul's head and going on the shirt, the brain spatter, etc. It's just that that kind of common sense that we all have, like, really?
Yeah.
Did that really happen? And so I think it really comes down to that. But he's fenced in with a lot of the evidence. So I just think South Carolinians are very wonderful people, and they're sure. far more gracious than in my neck of the woods.
Sure.
So,
and I appreciate that. And I like that. My radar always goes off with false sincerity. And to me, sometimes it's like, this doesn't seem right, but it is, I think, in a lot of cases. However, Alec has the track record of literally lying to everyone he's ever come across.
Exactly. And looking them in the eye. And
yes.
The prosecutor did a great job on that. You do that with juries, you do that with everyone you lied to, and they all believed you, and you stole from him, and you lied to him, and lied to them, and everything else. And you do that with juries because you're a trial lawyer, and everyone said you're good at it, and you're good at emoting and getting what you want with a jury. So that was excellent.
Is there a way you think that, because I know everybody, the biggest thing is saying, I can't imagine a parent doing this to their child. Really, look at news. Just read news. Just the latest.
I know.
I mean, this happens every damn day. And it truly is not that shocking to me. Granted, I cover true crime for a living, but
right.
these sort of things happen. I had mentioned in another interview that I did earlier today, I had a very close run-in where I joke, because all you can do is, it's so scary, is like, me and my daughter felt like we were pretty damn close to being on Dateline at one point. There was someone in our life, very close, same sort of dynamics, where something just kind of went off the rails. They snapped and our lives were threatened. Luckily, nothing actually happened. But I've witnessed this firsthand, where someone can be on the outside and to everyone else a happy, loving person, never have any sort of abusive tones whatsoever in many, right. many, many years of being with them. But when there's the right type of stress that's externally happening to them, when there's some sort of mental problems that are going on, which obviously can be exacerbated by drugs. In the case with Alec, it was opiates. But sometimes you don't even need the external drugs. Sometimes just the mind can be in that sort of a state. This is a possible thing to happen. It's not completely out of the question. I feel like there should have been more on the prosecution, or maybe there will be, kind of pulling the jury into that uncomfortable place of saying, yeah, this is horrible. You and me could never maybe, you know, contemplate doing this. I bet Alec could never contemplate doing this either. But this right. might have happened.
It's true. And right. And I had the case of Susan Cox Powell, where it was believed that her husband, Josh, killed her, but then he got the kids yeah. and there was a whole battle with the state because they're in state custody. I won't go into all the details,
yeah.
but he ended up killing the kids with an axe, and he set the house on fire and killing himself. Now, here was a guy, you know, that was active in his church. You know, was somebody that seemed to, you know, be, by many accounts, to be a pretty squared away guy, at least for a while.
Yeah.
But there's basically a profile of what, you know, people that commit familicide, I think that's how you say it.
Yeah.
And killing their own kids, and, you know, the narcissists, the rage, the abusing animals as a kid.
Yeah.
Attempts at self-harm, suicide. And there's a whole litany
yeah.
there that you look at in terms of, is somebody fit that profile. It is rare, the experts say, but it is predictable in many cases.
It is. I mean, if you look at the ingredients and you understand how this works, you could look at some mm-hmm. people and go, you're a bomb waiting to explode. You don't know when it's going to happen. And I think these people don't know when it's going to happen. I'm looking at this from a place of grace, almost, where I don't think Alec necessarily plotted this. I don't think there was necessarily him hiring someone to kill his family. I think it might have just been the perfect storm. And honestly, I wonder if Alec even remembers doing it. You know, if he snapped and then he snapped out right. of it and thinks, I'm down here, they're dead. What happened? There's nobody else around. Is it me? But has no recollection of it, because sometimes when people go into these states, they do not remember what they did. And they're horrified to know it.
Well, and I think you know, hit the nail on the head. And here's the thing. everyone talks about this perfect storm, you know, the finances, the theft, the stealing from the law firm, the housekeeper, $4 million, you know, all these things were coming down on him. He'd been confronted that day from the firm. He's trying to make up the money. And it's not just those things. It's his prominence and his sense of self and how it's reflected in his family's eyes, too.
Yeah.
I mean, the ultimate was going to happen, right? They're going to find out.
Uh-huh.
And you look at this person, he's just cornered by all of those things. It's not just the money. It's not just the crumbling of the world. It's himself.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to Josh Powell.
Yeah.
And that's when he killed him.
It's the inability to be able to process this in a way where even your family, the people that you are trying to, you know, be this image that you've been for so long, and suddenly that's going to be disproven. And Paul, as much as they're trying to make him out to be a wonderful saint up there on the stand, he was a pretty shitty kid. I mean, the amount of things that he was involved in, had accusations against. He killed somebody on that boat ride. Alex in there trying to turn everybody and make some other kid the guilty kid. This was not
right.
Like the wonderful little son. They're out there. He loves hunting, loves the outdoors. That's great. But he also killed one of his friends on the boat ride, was standing there laughing after the accident in a super entitled way. He was a shitty person. So I can imagine. And that shit wave of his son, on top of Alec, is another thing that he had to deal with. And then that image also hurting Alec's own reputation. There's going to be some rage there. Now, with most people, does it make you want to go kill your kid? No.
I know.
But with everything else, and that's another layer. Yeah, I could see that anger. And then when he's snapping, it's going towards whoever is the closest that he has anger with.
Well, and the other part of it is, don't forget his dad was dying, and his dad fixed everything for him.
Yeah.
You know, and he's so tied to that reputation of the Murdochs. So you're right. The kid's taking him out on the reputation and the money. And he had a court hearing coming up within 3 days where he had to give over his financial information. So that was going to blow up. And by the way, that whole network of good old boys, you know, with Ballery Beach's lawyer. Well, he's like, oh, I thought we were friends. Well, no. I mean, all's fair in war and litigation. This lawyer was going to take him out.
Yeah.
I think he said he's going to burn his house down, was the quote. So it was all of those things. But at the center of this was a good old boy network that protected him for so long. And it wasn't happening anymore.
Yeah.
It was going away.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Anne Bremner, one of the nation's most recognized legal analysts. Thank you so much for your insight into this case. There's more to come with Anne. We're going to keep talking. So press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any more of the conversation that is on the way to you shortly. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.